From the KERA newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, how to adjust Thanksgiving dinner if you're hosting family members who suffer from diabetes. But first, Texas, the land of big oil, leads the nation in wind power capacity. That's according to a new renewable energy study from the Pew Charitable Trusts. The study also spotlights the state's solar potential. Pablo Araruz Pena started digging through the report and ended up on a rooftop in downtown Dallas.
From the top of El Centro College, there's no escaping a skyline that is, in part, a tribute to the fossil fuel industry. Not exactly the place you'd expect to find a wind farm. David Browning, the school's vice president of business and administration, dreamed up the idea shortly after he started there 6 years ago.
And I hadn't worked downtown before, and I noticed that every time I walked outside, the wind always blew and messed up my hair. And I thought, wow, it's really windy here all the time. Why is that? And as I started thinking about it, it's because Dallas has created its own kind of artificial canyon. The buildings there, the tall buildings, funnel all that wind into a very narrow space and creates a higher level of wind.
The farm sits atop what used to be the Sanger Building. This 117-year-old structure was one of Dallas's first to have electricity. There are 80 turbines here. Each is 4 feet tall with blades 2.5 feet long. The farm generates enough energy to power 2,000 computers. And it's part of a state that has the 5 largest wind farms in the country, according to the Pew Report. Texans invested $10.6 billion in renewable energy over the last 5 years, and that number is expected to quadruple over the next decade. Russell Smith runs the Texas Renewable Energy Industry Association. While the wind business is well established, he says, what's really hot is solar.
I would say that on a percentage basis of growth, solar is the fastest growing of the technologies in the renewable field in Texas. And this is both utility scale and distributed, rooftop, if you will.
In San Antonio, the Alamo Solar Farm should be up and running by 2016. It will generate enough electricity to power 70,000 homes. Utilities in Austin are giving incentives to small communities to get together and buy rooftop solar panels. Here in North Texas, group buying projects like Solarize Plano and Solarize Garland started up this year. As the renewable industry builds, there are hurdles to clear. Texas doesn't have the tax incentives for consumers who save energy that other states do. Then there's the oil business, where prices have dropped dramatically in the last 6 months.
We're in Texas, and that's oil and gas country. We all know that and respect that.
Esther McElfish is a clean energy consultant.
It's really a package deal, so everybody can work together, but those industries doing their part, you know, to make it healthier, cleaner, safer. More and more parents are wanting to create a viable and healthier future for their children, too.
The turbines back at El Centro are part of the first rooftop wind farm in Dallas County. Browning says other downtown buildings are investigating wind, so more turbines could be spinning soon. For KERA News, I'm Pablo Arauz Pena.
An initiative by a Texas nonprofit is bringing together policymakers and experts to highlight mental health in the state. Florian Martin for Houston Public Media has the details.
Texas State of Mind is an initiative by Dallas-based Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute. Its CEO, Tom Luce, says the goal is to change the system of how mental health care is dealt with.
We hope to impact public opinion that, one, there is a problem, two, there are ways of dealing with the problem, and three, to galvanize support to encourage the state legislature and county officials to deal with the problem more efficiently and effectively.
Panel discussions focused on three areas: children, veterans, and smart justice, basically keeping mental health patients out of jails. One of the panelists was State Representative John Zerwes of Katy. He says one thing the legislature can do is provide more funding for medical schools.
So to the extent that we can open up more graduate medical education slots and funnel people into some of these critical areas of need, like psychiatry.
Houston was the sixth stop for the Texas State of Mind tour. Next stop is Laredo.
That was Florian Martin for Houston Public Media. While many of us look forward to Thursday's holiday feast, people living with conditions like diabetes have to exercise some caution. In this week's Vital Signs, Sharon Cox, a dietitian with Parkland Hospital System, talks with Sam Baker about ways to keep blood sugar levels stable.
A person living with diabetes can eat the same foods as we could without diabetes. What is key for them is their serving size. So the carbohydrate foods, starches, like rice, bread, potatoes, beans, and fruits, juices, and milk are all carbs. And all of those foods turn into glucose, so sugar in our bodies. We need a certain amount for energy, but not too much to cause the, you know, those symptoms of increased thirst, urination, and also possibly lead to some of the complications of diabetes.
What about those other foods that are very plentiful at Thanksgiving? Sweets, a lot of alcohol.
At that main meal, if you could leave off a dinner roll or maybe not have as much mashed potatoes or other carbs, then your carbohydrate, that is the sweet, would be a small portion of your plate, mm-hmm. but you could include it. And about the alcohol, that is something that you really need to check with your doctor. Make sure your blood sugars are well controlled enough to have maybe one drink. One drink for a female would be 5 ounces of wine or one small can of beer, mm-hmm. and 2 drinks for a male. But you still always have to eat first. Otherwise, the alcohol will cause some major problems.
We're all tempted, though, with so much food on the table, not to mention what you find at work and everything, to overindulge. So can you strategize around this? I don't know, skip a meal or eat lightly or maybe exercise before or after meal or something like that?
No, you would not want to skip a meal. Persons with diabetes or any chronic disease usually have medications they're taking, which means it needs to be taken with food. And when we miss a meal, we are extra hungry at the next meal. So go ahead, have your 3 planned meals. You know, don't skip breakfast or lunch. Mm-hmm. Save enough for the main meal.